And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hillary Rodham Clinton says, I'm in. We're going to look at the coming president of the United States. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Welcome, my dear friends. Boy, we have a great program today. I say great because I love to expose evil things. I believe it's a wonderful thing to do that. You know, the Bible says we are at enmity with the world, and anyone that is a friend of the world is not a friend of God's. Well, I suppose that's why I seem to have a lot of enemies out in the world. I do have some friends, and I count you, listener to Power of Prophecy here on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, and on the streaming audio on conspiracyworld.com and powerofprophecy.com as my friends. And I appreciate that we now have thousands of listeners tuning in each week on streaming audio on our websites. And that's a great, great phenomenon, and we much appreciate it. When we began some months ago on the internet with our radio program, I didn't know what the listenership would be, but wow, was I surprised. And it appears that we have listeners from all over the world now listening to us on the internet. And I believe more and more people listen to this radio program, Power of Prophecy, because people are hungry for the truth. The Power of Prophecy, the book of Amos has a prophecy in it. It says that in the last days, people will be hungry for the truth. They'll want the truth preached to them, but it'll be so rarely heard, it says they'll have to go across oceans and seas, even travel great distances to hear the truth preached. Isn't that what we have here on this international radio program, Power of Prophecy? People across long distances, people in Great Britain, in India, in Brazil, in Canada write to me and they say, we don't have any program on the radio stations like this. We've never heard these things. There are people who get up in the middle of the morning to listen to my radio program over in foreign countries. Dear friends, they want to listen to Tex Mars because they know we tell the truth. And the truth cost us. It cost us in aggravation, in threats made against us, hostility by the authorities who want to shut us up, by the bookstore chains and others that try to take our books off the shelves, by the Zionists and the occult groups who are furious that we preach the truth and would like to send us to jail if they could, simply because we believe in free speech. They're trying to pass hate speech, so-called legislation, thought control legislation, to keep us quiet. So we appreciate greatly all of our dear friends. Now, I want to talk to you today about an important subject that's going to really get important within a couple of years from now. So I want you to sort of mark your calendars. Now I'm going to say some things about the future and about what's going on right now, both. And I want you to understand, I'm not prophesying that Hillary Clinton is going to be president. God has not told me that she is going to be president. But my human analysis, and I have a pretty great power of analysis, tells me that she will. Certainly the opinion polls now put her as the leader, way ahead. She's way ahead of any other candidate in the Democrat Party. And as far as that goes, the Republican Party. She's been put head to head by Gallup poll, Roper poll, and other Harris polls and others against the other leading choices, and she always is the majority. Senator Joseph Biden, who's running against her in the primaries for the Democratic nomination, said she's not electable. There are too many people who dislike her. Oh, I beg to differ. One poll of Americans that was shown on CNN and Fox News alike about 6 months ago found that 56% of Americans say they would vote for Hillary Clinton. That's across party lines. 56%. Well, folks, you don't need but a plurality. If you can get a majority, you're even better off. In other words, 50% of the vote plus one. And we know that George Bush won with less than that against Al Gore. So if the elite want to fudge things a bit, they can do that as well with their crooked electronic voting machines. Hillary Clinton. In 1993, I wrote a book. It was a book that was a smashing success in sales. And, you know, we wanted so much to get the message out that sometimes we gave copies away. In fact, today I'm going to shock you by offering you a free copy of this book. A free copy of this book. You can't beat that. You'll want to get your pencil and some paper out to find out how to get a free copy of this book. We only have limited quantities left. Over 200 and some odd pages. It's called Big Sister is Watching You. Everybody knows about Big Brother. George Orwell's frightening, almost prophetic, ominous novel of the future, 1984. Well, we're past 1984. For goodness sakes, we're 23 years past 1984. Marshall McLuhan, a writer and a public relations and advertising expert, one of the 20th century's greatest known PR experts, a professor. McLuhan once said the police state is now a work of art. The police state is now a work of art. I believe that George Orwell's 1984, its depiction of the police state, was just a painting, maybe two-thirds finished. He could not foresee the great technological advancements that we have today. The ability through microchips to create robotic people to follow us with global positioning system satellites. And on, the ability of the totalitarian monsters has been enhanced a thousandfold since the days of George Orwell in his novel, which was actually written in 1948. So today we have someone who's peering at us through a dark, dim tunnel, declaring, as she did on her internet campaign website recently, Hillary Rodham Clinton, senator from New York, said, "I'm in." Those were the two words she declared. Everybody knew what she meant. I'm in. I am going to run for president in this year. If not this year, but I mean in this coming election. If she is chosen in the election of 2008, November, on that second Tuesday in November, then she will be sworn in as the first woman president in the history of the United States on January the 20th, 2009. Very interesting year, of course, occult numerology wise, because the year 2009 is added up and multiplied, and you can get some very odd satanic configurations. 2 times 9, of course, is 18. 1 plus 8 equals 9, and 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. And you add up the two digits in occult numerology, and you come up 1 plus 8 equals 9. It is a satanic 666 year, and Hillary wants to be our president. Big sister will be watching you. Now, this book, and it's the one I'm going to give to you free. All you have to do is pay shipping and handling. And I'll give you information on that in a minute. But the subtitle of this book, Big Sister is Watching You, is this. It says, Hillary Clinton and the White House feminists who now control America and tell the president what to do. This book was published almost at the same time that Bill Clinton was inaugurated in his first term as president, 1993. And in the book, I'm going to read a few passages. You'll see where I stated that Hillary's true intention was to become president. Now, at the time, I got letters saying, oh, you stupid person. She's just a first lady. She could never be president. Oh, Americans would never vote for a woman anyway. Oh, you're such a crazy conspiracy kook. Why, Hillary Clinton doesn't have any desire. She just wants to help her husband. When she said, you know, vote for my husband and you get two for the price of one, what she meant was she's going to be there as his confidant, as his right-hand person, as his lieutenant. That's what they told me. But I reported what I knew to be true, what I believed to be factual, again for my analysis. And God has given me a great power of analysis for which I am very thankful. Let me read to you the back cover of this book. Now remember, they had just gained office. She was just another first lady. Maybe a little bit grating on some people. She seemed to be a little bit more liberal, a little bit more pushy and domineering than some previous first ladies. Although you can go back in history, there have been a few characters in history. Abraham Lincoln's wife was no shrinking violet, if I can remember by the history books. So disliked was Miss Lincoln that after Abraham Lincoln's death, you would think that there would be a great drumbeat of sympathy for her. But did you know she went back to Springfield, Illinois without a cent in her pocket? And the Congress voted down a pension for the lady. Even though her husband had been assassinated, they said she will not get one cent. She wasn't a very popular lady. Well, Hillary is a very popular woman, it appears. She is senator from one of the most populous, largest states, New York, in America. And she won by a huge handy vote. I think it was like 86% of the vote. It was some silly amount. It was so high. She has no opposition. She certainly is the most powerful senator in the U.S. Senate today. Can you imagine? She's a junior senator, but she's one of the most powerful in the Senate today. Everyone looks up to her and says, what does Hillary say about the great issues of the day? But here's what I said back in 1993 when she was just a little first lady, and I exposed her as Big Sister. I wrote on the back cover of my book, and I wrote it. It says, Big Sister is watching you unmask the coven of brutally correct women who now rule over us. I said, Hillary's regiment of hardened militant feminists, who she's brought in the White House with her, include lesbian sex perverts, child molester advocates, Christian haters, and the most doctrinaire of communists. I went on to say, they possess awesome Gestapo powers. One of these women, that's the women that Hillary brought on board in the first Clinton administration. One of these women heads the FBI, another the IRS. Five are members of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, subversive organizations whose goal is to end American sovereignty and bring about a global Marxist paradise. And then I said, quote, then there's Hillary Rodham Clinton. I ask this question, what dark power does she exercise over her husband Bill? What is her real goal? Is she plotting behind the scenes to become president of the United States of America? And then I ask, will Hillary Clinton then, as president, go on to usher in a frightening new millennium? I end by saying George Orwell's prophetic novel 1984 warned us about Big Brother. Now in the bizarre new world, it's time to move over, Big Brother. Your meaner big sister is moving in. Big sister. Now, you know, again, I'm not prophesying she will be president. I don't see anything to prevent her other than a lightning strike from heaven. Or maybe if the devil would like a mistress down in hell and he goes ahead and takes her life with God's permission and she go to join him down there a little early. Other than those two things happening, well, I believe she will be president. Now, even though I'm not prophesying a woman president in this next election, the Bible has some interesting things to say. Isaiah the prophet, listen to this, dear friends. It says here in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. Now listen to this. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Verse 13 says, the Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. And as far as the women who rule over God's people, it says here, God has a contention with them. In verse 15, it says, what mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God? These women who rule, it says, they beat the people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor. Now I want you to consider. Hillary says, I'm in. And God says, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. I remember Hillary wrote it, maybe it was ghostwritten for her, but it proclaimed that she was the author of a book that was a number one New York Times bestseller. Several years ago, it was entitled, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. She's a socialist, you see, and parents have no rights, but everyone has the right to raise the children, because children don't know what... children have to be told everything by the psychologist change agents, and parents are just too stupid to know what to do in this brave new world that Hillary Rodham Clinton and her ilk are preparing for us. Anyway, these children today who seem to be without parents, yes, the young people of America and the world seem to have no parents today because they're directionless. Many of them are worthless except those who few have come to know Christ or who have smartened up. And they are the few, believe me. But the great majority of the baby boomers, the Generation Xers, and I don't know what they call them now, the Generation Methamphetamine Addicts. Yeah, it seems to be what they are. We've gone from marijuana to meta drugs, I call them, methamphetamine, crystal meth. Got an article in front of me, ABC News, recently, out of Bloomfield, Indiana. title of this news report says, Baby Boomers Emerge as Meth Addicts. It's everywhere. Crystal meth, clouding the mind, destroying bodies. Are these the people that Hillary Clinton will represent? We have a nation of addled brain, crystal meth, cocaine addicts. And they're in Congress. And they're in the Senate. And they're in our high-tech corporations. And they're in our service companies. They're everywhere. These crystal meth dodos. That's a good name for it. That's an old one. Used to call that as a kid. Dodos. That's not a bad name. I don't know really what it means, but it just means idiots. And their parents haven't raised them right. The Bible says, raise a child, teach him the things of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord and the way he should go, and when he grows up, he won't depart from that. But they're not raising them like that. Now they're politically correct. Anyway, you're not even supposed to discipline kids today. There's laws now being advocated where you cannot spank your children. Somebody wrote to me not too long ago. They said, Dear Tex, do you believe in spanking? I wrote back and said, Absolutely. I believe every congressman needs a good spanking. Start off with the senators, line them all up, and let's take one of those, you know, back when I was in school, they had these great big wooden things. I think they made them in the wood shop, you know, the woodworking classes. They had these paddles. And I don't know if it was for decoration or what, but it scared me because they would make little holes in them. And I don't know whether it was the flesh on your back end to go through those holes or what when they pounded it into you, but wow. I remember twice I got a spanking or paddling. We call them licks. I think it was, I said a word, and I think it wasn't a bad word. It wasn't even, you know, the SH, and it certainly wasn't God's name in vain, but it was just sort of a mild curse word in my gym class. Whoa, the coach heard that. Time for licks, Mr. Tex Mars. I think I was 15 at the time. I deserved it. I can't complain. And then I don't know what I did when I was, I think, in the 10th grade. They brought me down to the counselor. I think I smarted off to a teacher. And he said, well, you're going to have to pay for that. Bend over, three licks. You know what's interesting? I never said another curse word in gym class. His mile, I think it was like Dorn or something like that, but it didn't matter to that gym teacher. You're going to get it. And I certainly didn't smart off to a teacher again. Isn't that interesting how some things just seem to work real fine? Well, that did me. I didn't have an appetite for that anymore. But yeah, I think I'd like to have one of those big wooden paddles. Although, I'll be very honest with you, I've never paddled any kids. I've never done that. My grandkids, I just talk to them. When they did wrong things, and they would see grandpa's not happy, and I would almost treat them like an adult, but I would let them know, this is not right, but I don't see anything wrong with paddling kids. Now, being cruel, doing it excessively, doing it for things that they don't deserve, well, I think the parent ought to turn around and get licks himself for that kind of behavior. You don't mistreat, you don't provoke your children to violence. You don't mistreat children, period. But yeah, I'm for spanking. I believe we ought to spank every congressman. I'm tired of them being a bunch of, you know, just totally incompetent, mean-spirited, misbehaving miscreants. That's another good word, miscreant. Look that up in the dictionary. Yeah, so I believe in spanking every congressman, except Ron Paul and a few others that believe in our Constitution, need a good spanking. And I think they ought to be required to read and study the Constitution, take a test on it, and if they don't make a grade of at least A+ on that test, they ought to be spanked till they do. But, you know, that's just Tex Mars. And I, as you know, I am a very radical man. Some say we should hang them all from the lamppost, all the congressmen. See, I'm much more mild than that. I just think we ought to line them all up and have them drop their pants and give them a big good spanking. You know, things might just run a lot better in Washington, D.C. if we just chose about 20 citizens at random. Try to choose the big burly guys, you know, that you know got a lot of power in those arms, and just spank those congressmen. But, again, I am a crazy person. At least that's what some of the press say. I like to again, though, mention the words of that immortal songwriter, Waylon Jennings, who sang that top country hit, "I've always been crazy, but it's helped me from going insane." And that's sort of Tex Mars. You know, it's interesting. We have the Bible warning us about the children oppressing us, and that's what they do today. They oppress people. Young teenagers do whatever they want to. In class, they shoot the finger to teachers. They curse teachers. They do whatever they want, and they get away with it. They curse in front of adults. They wear tattoos and pierced body parts. They snub adults. They treat adult elders like dirt, and they get away with it. They're oppressive, and women now rule over us, and not good women. Women have always ruled the homes to a great extent. I mean, as far as the children and homemaking. Now, I know that men are the head of the household, but women had a lot of authority in the home. They don't have any authority in the home anymore, and now they're running the government. You know, we've taken them, stripped them of authority in the home, and now they're running the government. Something seems to be off. And then we have the problem that Hillary, if America is going to fall with a resounding crash, there's some who have warned us from the beginning that it's not going to be because of some foreign power. So many people are worried about terrorists, or they're worried about Red China now, or the Soviet Empire maybe cobbled back together. Hey, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the enemies within. Aren't you? Abraham Lincoln said this one time. He says, "At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected?" Lincoln went on to say, "I answer, if it ever reaches us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher." Friends, I want to tell you something right now. If we elect this evil Jezebel woman, Big Sister Hillary Rodham Clinton, then destruction will be our lot. It won't come from abroad. It will come from within. And as Lincoln himself prophesied, we ourselves, because we put her in office, will be the author of our own destruction and the finisher. Oh, she'll do the job as our great leader. The Fuhrer. That's F-U-H-R-E-R. But we will be the author and finisher. It will be national suicide. Now, let's talk a little bit. In my book about Hillary, I want you to understand the gravity of what I'm talking about here. You think we have problems with our current politicians, as bad as they are. Friends, you haven't seen anything. We're going to talk about the terror that Hillary Clinton is going to bring as president. But we're going to have to take a short break. I hope you stay with us, because we've got so much more here. Hillary says, "I'm in," and we're going to expose exactly what that means here on Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars, and I'll be right back. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. I promised you a free book. The book is Big Sister is Watching You, Hillary Clinton and the White House Feminists Who Now Control America and Tell the President What to Do. Now, here's how we can work this. If you'd like to have your copy of this 226 page book. Please, all I want from you is $4 shipping and handling. $4, that's it. All you have to do is call up, give us your name and address, and use your charge card. $4, that's it. Now, you can also write us a check or send us a money order or enclose four $1 bills. Now, if God leads you to it, maybe you can, you know, put in a little extra there for the ministry so we can keep our radio programs and our websites and our newsletter going across America. If you're not receiving our newsletter, Power Prophecy, when we receive your order, $4, the shipping and handling cost for this book, we'll go ahead and give you a free subscription to our newsletter, Power Prophecy, that comes out each month. Well, you can't beat a deal like that. The only better deal is free, and that's salvation. And Jesus offers that. I don't. I just tell people about it. And what a good deal that is. So let's get back to Big Sister is Watching You. I hope you will order this book. We only have a limited number of copies left. We have distributed, Sandra, I think probably 125,000 copies printed. 125,000 copies of this book. You know, give or take 1,000 have gone out since 1993. And we've had some amazing testimonies and information come in about it. So we want you to have your copy of this book because, friends, she hasn't changed. She's more powerful than she ever was. But Hillary Clinton is the same threat to America as she was when her husband was president and she was co-president. So please get your copy of this book and see what's in store for you. Okay? Now, our address here to write to us is Tex Mars, or simply Power of Prophecy. Street address is 1708, that's 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, and that zip code is 78733. You can phone us toll free to get this book, and our phone number is toll free again, 1-800-234-9673. Now, when you order the book is normally priced, I think it's $12, if I'm not mistaken. So if the lady or the man who's the receptionist says to you, that'll be $12 plus $4 shipping, say, well, you just come back and very sweetly say, well, I wanted to let you know that Tex Mars said it's only $4 on his radio program. It's free, but all I have to do is pay the shipping and the handling. And then they will remember, you see, because, you know, this is the first time I've offered this on the radio. And I've never offered it in our newsletter. So most people, you know, pay the $12. Now, if you've already paid $12, I can't give you a refund. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, we can't go back and give $125,000 refunds. So we're not going to give any refunds to you. And, but believe me, the book is worth $12. It's worth $20. It's worth $100 for the information. But for a limited time only, I'm saying to you, I'm going to give it to you at $4. Now, I'm going to let all the clerks here that take the orders know about that. But just in case one of them, you know, we have a new person or a person answering the phone that day and they don't get the message, you just very sweetly say, well, now, Tex said it would be regular price $12, but he said he's going to give it to us, and all we have to do is pay the shipping and the handling, which is always a minimum of $4, you know, here at this ministry. So $4, that's all it is. And believe me, friends, it cost us more than that to print this book and send it to you. But this is why we're just plain determined to get the word out on Hillary Clinton and the threat she is to America and to Christianity and really to the whole world, as you'll see on the second half of this program. Now, again, our toll-free number, 1-800-234-9673 to use your charge card. Our address, 1708, that's Power of Prophecy, 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. For the book, Big Sister is Watching You. And, of course, at the same time, we'll give you a free newsletter. Hey, Sandra. Sandra's our engineer and our producer here. Do we have any more of those videos? Big Sister is Rising. I think we discontinued that. Yeah, we had a video on this subject, and man, it was a shockeroo. Yeah, maybe we'll someday put that back in print again. I wish we had that video because Big Sister is Rising. Man, that was a powerful video. Okay, we won't go any further there. I wish we had that, but we have the book. But I'll tell you, we only have a few hundred copies of this book left, if I can remember. I'll have to look at our statistics on our inventories. So please call up as soon as you can, because we may be out of the book. And this offer I'm telling you about, this $4, is only going to be good for probably just a couple of months now at the most. So if you call up, you know, 6 months from now, it's going to go back up in price. And by that time, it'll probably be $15 or $18 or who knows what, the way our costs are going up. And we've just got to keep up here with inflation. Okay, let's return to our regular program. Now we're talking about Hillary Rodham Clinton. She says, I'm in. What does that mean for America? Well, let's take a little look at Hillary Rodham Clinton, shall we? Let's return first to my book, Big Sister is Watching You. Some things that I proved, I documented in this book about Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to cover it all, but I do want to mention to you, I mentioned that, oh, let me get to that page because I think it's an interesting page. According to the New York Times, early in the first term of the Clintons, they held a party for their friends at the White House. And it was sort of a costume party, you know, come as a fun person or thing. And they said that Hillary came dressed as a witch. She had on a pointed black hat. She came as a witch. I found that very interesting. And, you know, I looked up in Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary the word witch and its meaning. And did you know that it's the same meaning as the word hellcats? And I began to call the women around Hillary, Hillary's hellcats. Some people laughed when I did it, but listen to this. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines hellcats as follows. Number one, witch. Number two definition, one given to tormenting others. A hellcat, my friends, then, is a witch given to tormenting others. As I said on page 15 of my book, Big Sister, a hellcat is defined further as a shrew, which is a ferocious, rat-like animal that's expert at quickly darting back and forth while tearing an enemy to pieces with its fine, sharp teeth. I saw this when I was stationed in the Air Force over in the Orient, over in Thailand. They took me to a snake farm in an isolated location, and they had some very deadly banded crate snakes, poisonous. They had green pit vipers, and they had cobras and king cobras. And they brought out a cobra, and they began to beat it with a stick and threw it on the ground. And boy, that cobra was mad, and it was striking everybody that came near it, trying to strike them, I should say, with its hooded head, menacing. And then they took this little rat-like creature out of a cage nearby, and they threw it next to the snake. Well, I thought the snake was going to grab that little rat. I thought they were feeding the snake. I could not understand the Thai language. Later, I went to the University of Maryland and studied the Thai language and for 2 years and learned a little bit of Thai language. But at that time, I didn't know the Thai language. I didn't know what they were saying. But they were all looking to see my reaction at what would happen. I did not know that little rat creature was a shrew. It was a shrew. And did you know that snake tried to strike that shrew rat? But every time it did, the rat would run back and forth, dart, and it would miss. And then finally the rat dove at the snake, and the snake thought, I've got the rat. And that hooded head came right down where that shrew had been, but the shrew darted aside like some kind of a championship middleweight boxing champion of the world or something. He darted to the side, just jumped aside, and then when the snake's head was, it hit the ground almost, the little shrew jumped on his neck, right on his back, and bit right into him and killed the snake. He killed the cobra. And I thought, boy, I don't want to come across one of those things in a dark alley some night that's hungry. Well, you know, I feel the same way about Hillary Rodham Clinton. I don't want to come across that woman in the dark of night in some alley when she's hungry for human blood. She'll tear your flesh apart. It may seem strange. It may seem extreme of me to say those things, but this is a very powerful woman. Page 41 of my book, I quote Larry Patterson, publisher of the hard-hitting and highly recommended magazine, Criminal Politics. Do you know who actually made almost all of the presidential appointments during the 8 years of the Clinton administration? Do you think it was William Jefferson Clinton? You're wrong. Listen to what Patterson said. He said, according to the reliable Washington Times newspaper, the three armed services, early in the Clinton administration, the three armed service secretaries have not yet been appointed because all candidates must be reviewed first by Hillary Clinton. Mr. Patterson went on to say, as of February 16th, only one person had been interviewed for a position, and that was Sheila Widnall, a woman who has been selected by Hillary Clinton as Secretary of the Air Force. She will become the first woman to head any branch of the military service. Wow. And then Mr. Patterson went on to talk about the fact that everyone in the White House got their instructions on what to do from a mysterious woman New York lawyer who worked for Hillary. Hillary would send this lawyer, this woman lawyer, who was, she looked like she came out of Lesbo City. Her name was Susan Thomas, who it was said had been a contractor lawyer to Henry Kissinger. This Susan Thomas was like the witch controller of the White House. Everybody was afraid of her. She would walk up and down, and she looked like the witch out of the movie The Wizard of Oz. And when Susan Thomas walked by in the halls of the White House, people cringed, they said. She speaks for Hillary. She's powerful. She tells President Clinton what to do. Did you know that on the second day, remember, they were inaugurated the first day, and they went to all of the drunken parties and all the inaugural events. And I guess you're supposed to get a little bit of sleep that night. And then you go into the White House the second day and start your work as president and co-president. Hillary Rodham Clinton, of course. Did you know that the first real work day, the first thing that Bill Clinton did as president, he ordered the armed forces to begin immediately accepting homosexuals. But it was put on hold, that order. It was Hillary said, the first thing I want lesbians and homosexuals to have full rights in the military. And Bill said, yes, ma'am. Now, there was a little problem. Four-star General Colin Powell, if I can remember right, was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he told the president, this will not fly. All of the Joint Chiefs of Staff were opposed to it. All of the military brass were opposed to it. Almost all the enlisted people and officers are opposed to it. There's going to be mutiny in the ranks if we do this. So they went back to the drawing board. And at that time, Hillary Rodham Clinton was not dictator. Yet, it was very early in the Clinton administration, and they decided finally to compromise, and they came up with their infamous, don't ask, don't tell. Go ahead and allow the homosexuals to come in, just don't ask people whether they're homosexual or not anymore. They used to ask you. When I enlisted in the Air Force as a young man of 18, they made me fill out a questionnaire. It says, are you a communist? Are you a terrorist? Or whatever, all these long questions. Are you a member of all these infamous groups and organizations? I said, no, no, no. And then they said, are you a homosexual? I said, no. Now they don't ask that anymore. They don't want to know. I want to mention, too, that in page 48 of my book, I have a starts the chapter, Rage of the Psychopaths. Rage of the Psychopaths. And I quoted a famous psychiatrist, William Krasner, who wrote an article called Neurotica way back in 1946. I want to read it to you, friends, because I tell you, it reveals what George W. Bush is and what Hillary Clinton is going to be as president. Listen to what Mr. Krasner wrote. He said, no nation or culture consisting wholly or even largely of psychopaths can long survive. The psychopath is a disruptive, parasitic, immoral influence. Any group, while it may for various reasons support and even honor the psychopath, must fundamentally rest on a firm economy and a great mass of hard-working, responsible people to exist. Therefore, in direct proportion to the extent that the psychopath is tolerated, that his attitudes find support in the culture pattern, to that extent it is an unhealthy society. Psychopath, Hillary, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, they're psychopaths. And there are quite a few more in our government. And friends, to the extent that we tolerate, even promote the psychopath, to that extent, it is an unhealthy society. And who can deny that America has an unhealthy society? Hillary Clinton is a lovable person, though. She has a nice smile. I can imagine she would be very likable. Not only that, I believe that if you don't really understand the psychopathic nature of this megalomaniac woman, I believe if you had lunch with her, or you went to a women's tea or coffee with her, you'd find her adorable, enjoyable. She's not a meanie. She has the warmest of smiles. I watched the statement where she declared that she was running for president, where she said, I'm in. And she was sitting on what they said was her family room or living room couch or chair, and she just looked so sweet and innocent and so nice. I was ready to vote for her myself. There she was in her homie situation. I did notice there was one thing about that. Now remember, this little speech declaring her candidacy was given just last week. And this is in the coldest part of the winter. Supposedly from her home in Chautauqua, New York, upstate New York. And as she was sitting on the couch talking, saying, yes, I'm going to run for president, and giving her reasons why. And it just sounded so homey and wonderful. I thought it was just great that here she is in this very, I mean, we've had one of the coldest winters, freezing snow, ice, during that particular time, in fact. And they had the window next to her, and I looked back the window instead of her for just a moment, and I noticed everything was green. And flowers were blooming outside. The trees were green. The bushes were green. She said, I finally made up my mind. Well, when was this videotaped? It had been sitting in the can for quite a while, quite a few months. Her campaign office said, well, we just did it this week. Really? Wow. What a miracle. New York goes from no leaves, everything just in hibernation, the cold gray winter, to suddenly there's, you know, birds flying around, and the trees have beautiful leaves on them, and the flowers are blooming out in the gardens. You know, isn't it interesting that the liars always seem to leave just a little bit of circumstantial evidence to let you know that they're liars. Sometimes I wonder if they don't want us to know. They want to see what we're going to do about it. Edgar Allan Poe, the famous novelist, who wrote many horror stories that I used to enjoy when I was young. I'd read these, The Pit and the Pendulum and all those by Edgar Allan Poe. And I remember that famous poem, said the raven, nevermore. But I remember he did a short story, Mr. Poe, called Perverse of the Imp. Perverse of the Imp. And in it, he proposed that criminals have some kind of an overwhelming desire to confess their crimes. You'd think they'd shut their mouth. But that's how most criminals, especially the most perverse, the most impish, the most neurotic, the most psychopathic of the monsters, they somehow have a compulsion, an obsession to confess what they're going to do. In my book, Big Sister is Watching You, I quote Hillary. Parade magazine interviewed her and said to her just an innocent question, what is your favorite reading materials? What books have you read that most impressed you? Friend, it ain't Betty Crocker's Good Housekeeping. It's not the Reader's Digest Bible. And it's not, how to make a quilt. Or even cookies. Make some cookies. Because when you stand by your man, you wouldn't need to bake him cookies every once in a while. But no, that wasn't it at all. Would you like to know what two books she said have had the most impact on her? She said, the two books that have had the greatest impact on me are George Orwell's 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Ah, yes, as Mr. Edgar Allan Poe very famously once said in this Perverse of the Imp, criminals even tell you sometimes in advance what they plan to do. And yet she's so lovable. I have a picture here in front of me, just taken 2 days ago in San Antonio at one of the military bases there. They just created a new rehabilitation center for our military victims of this horrible Iraq war. And guess who came to the ceremony of this rehabilitation hospital that they've spent some $50 million to build there? Yes, there were crippled veterans in wheelchair. Many of them had lost limbs. Some of them had faces burned so bad you couldn't even recognize who they were. They were there. But two famous senators also sat in the first row, VIPs for the ribbon cutting. Senator John McCain of Arizona and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York. And they sit side by side. And I have a picture of them, and they're facing each other, and the smile on their face is contagious. You'd think they're lovers. They're so happy to be sitting side by side. John McCain, Republican. Hillary, supposedly Democrat. But remember, as old George Wallace said, his segregationist policies might have been wrong, but he was right when he said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. And, the news source that gave me this picture on the internet, the caption under the picture says, love-in in San Antonio. Love-in. Then I read another article about John McCain, and he said, when asked about Hillary Clinton, he said, I believe Senator Hillary Clinton would make a very good president. Isn't that interesting? The Republicans are saying it about her. And by the way, I won't get into that. That's another story. But it would be interesting to talk about McCain's wife and the secret piece of jewelry that she wears to indicate she is a supporter of Hillary Rodham Clinton. By the way, Martha Stewart, one of the most famous ex-cons in America, of the Martha Stewart, decorating and women's shows and the TV fame, but she went to prison for some stock market manipulation. But Martha Stewart recently announced that she was endorsing and supporting Hillary Clinton for president, and she was going to give the biggest political gift she could to Hillary. Well, that didn't surprise me, because Hillary has a lot of friends. Friends? Yes, Hollywood-type friends. George Hamilton, Shirley MacLaine, John Travolta, Cher, Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, Whoopi! I almost got carried away with that. Whoopi Goldberg. Patrick Swayze, Michael Jackson, Larry King of CNN fame. And on her friends. And did you know they said that she has decided not to use the funds that are provided by the government for presidential candidates? She doesn't need them. They say she has a war chest approaching $200 million, mostly from Jewish Zionist billionaires. She was recently a featured speaker at AIPAC. That's the American Israel Political Action Committee, the most powerful lobby group in the world. And there she is. American Free Press, a fine newspaper, by the way, January 22, 2007, and a picture of her there at their national convention. She's even got a political action committee set up called HillPAC. You like Hillary Political Action Committee? That's giving money to other politicians that need it. Did you know that Hillary has so much money in her war campaign chest, she's giving out, doling out money to others, and they're now beholden to her. Let me give you the name of some people who have gotten money from Hillary for their campaigns. Senator Barbara Boxer of California, Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut, Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, Senator Patty Murray of Washington, Senator Charles Schumer of New York, Senator Russell Feingold of Wisconsin. Wow. She's got the bucks. She's got the influence. She's even got Republicans bowing down to her. Even Papa Bush. He runs around with her husband all the time. They love each other. Victor Thorne on WingTV.com says, Hillary Clinton 2008, is the fix already in? Yes, Victor, I believe it is. I believe the bigwigs have chosen her. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Council on Foreign Relations, the World Zionist Congress, the American Jewish Committee. I believe all of these groups, there will be billionaires and millionaires to support Hillary Rodham Clinton, President of the United States. Women rule over us. Children are our oppressors. Hillary says, I'm in. And friends, let me tell you and I who are Christians, who are patriots, we're going to be out in the cold. We're going to see a dictatorial, totalitarian monstrosity that we've never seen before if she's president. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been looking at Hillary Rodham Clinton, who has declared, I'm in. I hope you'll tune into the same radio station each week during the same time, or on our website, streaming audio. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.